Exodus 37. So this is, I suspect this is what's going to happen for the next, well, the rest of the book until chapter 40 here. And basically it's repeating everything that Moses saw on the mountain. In this case, it's saying that Bezalel, he made the stuff. So it's got the details in there for, I mean, just compare these details with what Moses saw, and they're very, very close. So, Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, and he made the covering, also called the mercy seat. He made the two cherubim on it, with one, you know, made it one with the lid. He made the table, he made the lampstand out of, you know, pure hammered gold. He made the seven lamps, and snuffers, and fire pans, and he made the altar of incense, and he made the holy anointing oil. That covers the whole chapter. So I spent a bit of time looking into what is a fire pan, because the other things all make sense. Like a snuffer is like, you know, like a little tiny upside down bowl you use to put out a lamp. The lamps are obviously lamps. I've seen pictures of them. They look kind of like, you know, old genie lamps, with a place for the wick, right, where the spout is. But the fire pan, I didn't know where to put that into my, you know, schedule. The closest thing I had in my brain was, you know, if you have a fireplace, then you have the tongs for grabbing stuff. You have the brush for brushing stuff, usually coals that are cooled you're trying to clean out. And then you have that, like, little shovel thing. Maybe that's a fire pan, but that doesn't seem to fit with how it's used, because the fire pan, or this thing, is often used to wave the incense before the Lord. And that image just really threw me. And so I looked into it, and I looked into some of the archaeology and the art and the tradition, the Torah references. I read through this really neat article called Fire Pans in the Bible and Archaeology by Dr. Raz Kletter. And he takes it from a Jewish historian side. And so he's got pictures in there from places nearby, and things from Jewish archaeology, and kind of following some of the history and how things changed. And this is actually the thing, the fire pan, is there's basically two ways that people used it or interpreted it. One is exactly that. It's the shovel, like a long-handled shovel, just like what we use in our fireplaces, except maybe a little bit larger, so you could actually hold, you know, a bit more, because they're dealing with a large fire pit, not a tiny little fireplace. And then the other one is it's like an incense burner, censer. So like it's like these chains that go down to this ornate looking thing that's smoking, and that became popularized in, I don't know, like the 1500s in their art, which isn't necessarily accurate. And so they've got, you know, paintings of the sons of Korah that have their unholy fire, and they're being cast down into this pit, and they've got these, you know, chains with these ornate thingies that spread the aroma. So I think I want to probably, I mean, for myself, I'm going to kind of dismiss that as a more modern update on it and kind of go back to, it kind of looked like a shovel. And for a lot of the way that this was used, they would use this to move the coals, or they'd take a whole bunch of coals from the altar, and then they'd put a big pile of this incense on it, like big pile, and it would just smoke and fill the room. And these instructions were that it's supposed to fill the Holy of Holies to obscure the whoever's there with it, the priest, from the altar. So they couldn't see the altar, or not the altar, the ark and the lid, and the mercy seat. So they couldn't see it, so that it was obscured from their view, so that it wasn't a clear eye shot from point A to point B. And it was a pleasing, beautiful aroma. So I thought that was neat. And yeah, that's about it for chapter 37. Chapter 38 and 39 look like they're going to go that same direction in 40, with a little bit more detail here in 40, right at the end, as you know, as we catch up to repeating the instructions and implementing the instructions to what happened after they implemented them. And there's maybe a paragraph at the end there. So, yeah, we'll have that. Also, interesting thing of note, today we crossed 1,000 downloads. So somebody's downloading it a lot, or we've got a lot of people downloading it a little. And it seems to be the latter, at least from the analytics I saw. So that's neat. This podcast was mostly intended for me to teach back lessons to myself so that I could actually get them into my brain. So that's awesome. And if you hear this, I hope that you benefit from it, and that it gives you a thirst for studying scripture more, and that it points you more and more toward Jesus. Because that's what its goal is for me, to not for me to do to others, but for me to do to myself, to teach myself these lessons, to repeat these things so that I can grow more and more, so I can have more and more of a thirst for these books, for the culture, the understanding, the language, the things in here that point to Jesus and point to God's character.